invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. I was asked a couple of times this week by different people what my plans were for this Sunday. And my sadistic streak kind of caused me to say, just play dumb, Josh. So I said, what do you mean? They said, well, some variation of, you know what, Sunday's Mother's Day, and you've been preaching through Genesis, and we've been reading ahead, and the next chapter deals with Sodom and Gomorrah. And one person asked me, I just don't know how you would tie that in with Mother's Day. And the first thought that came to mind that just sort of fell out of my mouth was, have you read that chapter? I mean, both of Lot's daughters become mothers by the end of chapter 19 in Genesis. So, I mean, that's Mother's Day right there, right? And we had a good laugh and a look from that person to me that said, surely you're not going to go there, right? But anyway, we are going to take a break from our series in Genesis this morning, not because Genesis 19 is not profitable. It's actually a multitude of reasons. You can ask me about them later, but if nothing else, Genesis 19 is a key chapter that needs an honest look and good treatment from the pulpit if we're going to truly look at the message of Genesis. I didn't feel like I could do that justice this morning and try to tie everything in seriously with Mother's Day and everything that's going on, everything we want to celebrate today. And so we will pick back up next week with Genesis chapter 19. But this morning, I want to just take a moment of our time, maybe a few moments, and just look at exactly what it is that the writer of Proverbs calls a woman who fears the Lord. What exactly does this look like? Well, somewhere between the youthful energy of a teenager and what are often referred to as the golden years of a woman's life, there lives a marvelous and loving person known as Mother. Every single person in this room this morning has one. Some of us have really good relationships with our mothers, some of us not so much, but everyone has a mother this morning. You know, a mother is a curious mixture of patience and kindness and understanding, discipline, industriousness, purity, and love. A mother can be at one and the same time both a lovelorn counselor to a heartsick daughter and head football coach to an athletic son. A mother can sew the tiniest stitch in the material for that dainty prom dress, and she's equally experienced in threading through the heaviest traffic with a station wagon, or to bring that into the 21st century, your SUV, or whatever it is that you drive. Mother is the only creature on earth who can cry when she's happy, laugh when she's heartbroken, and work when she's feeling ill. I won't go into all the areas in our personal life that Jennifer and I see these types of things crop up. She would swear to you that if I have about a 98.7 degree temperature, then I'm just worthless and out for the count. And I think she calls it being a man. But anyway, I can say I've watched this woman walk around with 101 fever before and still picking up after kids and working and doing the things that any mother does. A mother is as gentle as a lamb, strong as a giant. Only a mother can appear so weak and helpless and yet be the same one who puts the fruit jar cover on so tight even dad can't get it off. A mother is a picture of helplessness when dad is near and a marvel of resourcefulness when she's all alone. A mother has the angelic voice of a member in the celestial choir as she sings Brahms' lullaby to a baby held tight in her arms. And yet that same voice can dwarf the sound of an amplifier when she calls her boys in for supper. A mother has the fascinating ability to be almost everywhere at once, and she alone can somehow squeeze an enormous amount of living into an average day. A mother is old-fashioned to her teenager, just mom to her third grader, and simply mama to the two-year-old. But there is no greater thrill in life than to point to that wonderful woman and to say to all the world, "That is my mother." I just want to point out a few characteristics this morning. We could sit around and talk all day long about our mothers and what they mean to us and the things that they have given us in life and how we've leaned on them at various points in time. We could talk all day long about those things. We could talk all day long about what it means to be and what it looks like to be a mother. But I just want to kind of take a general overall look at Proverbs chapter 31 this morning, specifically verses 10 through the end of the chapter, and just look at some qualities of a godly Christian mother. You'll notice Proverbs chapter 31 starts off in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Now, there's a lot of debate back and forth about who exactly wrote this proverb. Was it King Solomon? We really can't definitively know. Some people, some theologians say, yes, it absolutely was Solomon. And if that is the case, then it was no doubt Bathsheba who would have been speaking these words to him. Other theologians take a different track and they say, well, we really don't know who King Lemuel is, but he wasn't Solomon, and they kind of go that route. But one way or another, that really doesn't matter as far as the text is concerned. Whoever this king was, whether it was Solomon or someone else, we see that he had a mother who taught him certain things, things that were important enough that they found themselves at the end of Proverbs in the Word of God. And so certainly these are important things for us to hear and important things for us to know. I'm not going to go in depth with the last part of Proverbs 31. I encourage you to study that in your own time and to just allow God to speak to you through Proverbs. But I would suggest to you that any godly woman, any godly mother, first and foremost, she has a Savior. She knows the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somewhere, maybe as a little girl, maybe later on in life, but somewhere, she went to church and she heard the gospel. And having heard the truth, she saw herself as a sinner, unable to save herself from the penalty of sin, but she also saw in Jesus a Savior who's paid the price for her sin if she will only put her faith and trust in Him. And so she did. She followed Him in faith. She followed Him in believer's baptism. And as she began to follow Jesus as her Savior, she came to realize that not only was He her Savior, He was her Lord. She learned she could lean on Him and trust Him to help her in times of need. You know, there are many times in life where we realize that not only is God our Savior and our Lord, He truly is our best friend. I'm always cautious and careful about talking about God as our best friend because sometimes it can come across as we're talking about, you know, me and God, we're just buddies. You know, it's no big deal. I really don't have reverence for God. I would caution you against that. I would caution you against just referring to God as your best buddy. And yet at the same time, the Bible refers to Moses as the man who was the friend of God. In the same way that David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible calls Moses a man who's a friend of God. And so certainly there is this friendship here, but let's not forget the reality of the relationship, that He stands above us, first of all, as our Lord and as our Savior, but He is also our friend. Maybe when she met her knight in shining armor and married him, she realized that Jesus was still her Savior. She took her relationship with Jesus right into her marriage, right into her home, and she made it a Christian home. If you listen carefully, you might hear her singing things like, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear." Or maybe, "I need thee every hour." But I'm sure in the heart of every good Christian mother is the tune, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." By the way, men, don't be jealous of that relationship. If you are blessed enough to have a woman who has a relationship with God and who puts that relationship as number one in her life, don't find yourself jealous of that relationship. No man has ever held a higher place of honor in the heart of his wife than when he is second only next to God. Christian mother has a Savior. Not only that, she has a church. When mom got saved, she had an inevitable hunger for the fellowship of other children of God. And she learned that that hunger was satisfied in the church. When she got saved, she naturally sought out the church. There is within us some factor that when the catalyst of salvation is added, it automatically directs us to the church. Christians just know they belong in church. Now, hear me say, that doesn't mean the church is perfect. That doesn't mean that we've got it all figured out. But believers just naturally have a desire to be around other men and women who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They have a desire to be around their family of faith. I'm not so sure about the quote-unquote salvation of a person who says he doesn't need the church or that he doesn't want to be a part of the church. Now, I understand many people have been hurt. Many people have been through a lot of different circumstances and things in life. But to truly understand what it is to be a follower of Christ means that, as the writer of Hebrews says, we do not neglect the gathering together of ourselves. We're with each other in through thick and thin. You know, I've said before, a lot of people, their reasoning for not wanting to attend church or not wanting to be at some particular church or whatever the excuse may be is, well, there's just a bunch of hypocrites down there. And I would be the first to stand up and say, you are absolutely right. Amen, brother. There are hypocrites in the church. But here's a word of caution. If you ever find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up. Because here's news for all of us. As hypocritical as I am, you are just as hypocritical. And as hypocritical as you are, I'm as hypocritical too. We all say things we don't mean and say things we don't do and make promises that we don't follow through with. We all come to points in our life where we need to be called on the carpet. And by the way, that's another great thing about being a part of a healthy church is that we're around brothers and sisters who, if they're doing what God has called them to do, can see where we're walking astray and can say, hey, wait a minute, we need to hold you accountable here because you're not doing what God's word says you should do, or you said you were going to do this or that and you haven't done it. This accountability idea. But mom, she realized she needed a Savior. She realized she needed a church. She learned the church was where she could find the love and acceptance she so desperately needed. She learned she could depend on her brothers and sisters in the church to be there when she needed help. She also learned that sometimes all people let other people down. But that we're not in this thing for ourselves. We don't come to church for other people. Ultimately, we come to this place to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're a part of the kingdom of God. Men, you've probably figured out already, as much as you want to understand your wife, and some of you may be sitting there going, I got all I can handle. I'm not looking for any more knowledge on this subject. But most of us are looking at our wives every day perplexed, going, I don't know, I just don't get it, I don't understand. And she's sitting there looking at you going, you stupid, crazy fool, what is wrong with you? Why aren't you getting these things? You may have figured out that as much as you want to understand your wife, most likely there are just a few areas where you cannot understand her and you cannot help her the way that another godly woman can come into her life and speak into her life and help her with things. Newsflash, guys, you can't really tell your wife things about being a better mother. Maybe you can give biblical principles, but as far as, hey, I've got this problem as a mom and I just can't figure it out. You know, Jennifer can go and talk to Laura or Jen or Mary Jane or Amy or somebody other than me when she's going, hey, I've got this issue as a mom that I'm just trying to figure out. She can go to another woman and get far more sympathy and empathy and better advice probably than she could get from me as her husband. That's not a bad thing. That's okay. Not only does she go to church, a godly woman, as the writer of Proverbs here says, a woman who fears the Lord, she's in church, but she makes sure her children are in church with her. You know, there are few things more precious than seeing a mom with her children sitting together in a pew. When I grew up, my dad was a pastor. He retired from the Air Force when I was 6 and started pastoring a church. And so most of the time growing up, my dad was up here where I'm at, and my brother and myself and my mom were in the pew. And, you know, there were times where that was kind of difficult. You'd kind of look around, you're like, well, everybody else's dad can sit with him. How come our dad can't sit with us? You know, and you get that. It's part of being part of the pastor's family. But, you know, I look back on those years, and I think back with great fondness on my mom, who would sit there and sometimes smack us on the back of the head or whatever it took to get us to sit up and act straight before my dad saw us from the pulpit. And oh boy, I grew up and became a pastor and found out, man, my dad saw so much stuff that I thought I had just skated by with and gotten away with. You don't realize how much you can see from up here looking into those pews, but you know, just the memories of sitting in that pew with my mom, that she was always faithful, no matter what responsibilities my dad had, no matter what was going on, that she was faithful to be with us in that pew and to bring us up in the love and admonition of the Lord. By the way, let me just pause here to say, long enough to say, if it weren't for women, a lot of churches would have died a long, long time ago. Yeah, I am all about men stepping up and taking responsibility and leading in the roles that God has given us as husbands and fathers and leaders and taking those roles and honoring God through them. But the reality is there's a lot of churches that just be flat out dead right now if it wasn't for some woman doing what either there wasn't a man to do or somebody was there but didn't want to step up to the plate or whatever the reality was. I think we could all look around and point to specific women in our lives as we've grown up and as we've gotten older, then we could say, this woman has had so much impact on my life spiritually and in so many other ways. There are so many women that I can point back to throughout my years of growing up and were kind of almost like second moms to me and some of them almost like second grandparents. But Mom realized she needed a Savior. A woman who fears the Lord realizes she needs a church, and she has one, and she's in one. She also has a Bible. Well, of course she has a Bible. Every American has a Bible, right? But I'm not talking about possessing a Bible. I'm talking about loving the Bible. She believes the quote-unquote old-fashioned things that the Bible teaches. She believes in honesty and purity and hard work and truthfulness and kindness and love. She believes in the old time religion, as some people call it, that's found in the Bible. She believes that man is a sinner, guilty and lost. She believes Jesus Christ is the divine Savior. She believes you must be born again, that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. She believes in repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. She believes in heaven for the saved and hell for the lost. She believes all these things because she believes the Bible. She reads it. She studies it. She cries over it. She prays over it. She teaches it to her children. As you read through Proverbs 31, you find, it just begins there in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And it goes on there. It talks about how she works and the things that she does with her hands and how she how industrious this woman is. Because she is a woman who fears God, she has a pathway to the throne of grace. She knows life is too hard to be faced alone. She knows she needs help, and she knows where to find it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, many Christian mothers today are busy, and it's easy to get too busy to pray. And since this is Mother's Day and we're kind of focusing on moms and the ladies in our lives, mothers, can I just speak to you for just a second? If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. And that goes for all you guys. And if you're not an adult yet, if you're a teenager or whoever you may be, if you are too busy to pray, you're just flat out too busy. I can remember having a conversation with somebody who one time they were telling me how spiritually dry they felt like their life was. Like, you know, I just feel like I'm living in this spiritual desert. I said, well, how much time are you spending in the Word and in prayer? Well, man, you don't understand. I get up at 6 and I got this. And they went through their day and not one second of it did they talk about. And I set aside this amount of time for prayer. And I set aside this amount of time for spending in God's Word and all this kind of stuff. And came to the end of the day, I said, well, it doesn't sound like you have much time left for God. I said, no, man, that's my problem. That's what I'm telling you. I'm just spiritually dry. I'm like, well, could you get up 30 minutes earlier? Oh, you don't understand. I've got all this. And I'm like, wait. We've got to understand. If we are too busy for God in our day, if we've got too much stuff filling up the spaces of time in our lives that we don't have enough time for God, we are just flat out too busy. And believe me, Jennifer could tell you about that. Like, a lot of you mothers could, but right now she's in that stage where she's got little kids. And she's trying to finish her degree, and she's doing this, and she's doing that. And every once in a while, she just tells me, I just have to find time for God. I've just got to, whether it's nap time or whatever, I've just got to get back in God's Word. Many of us could be spared a lot of grief if we could have just brought ourselves into God's Word more often. And many of us have been spared a lot of grief because of the time that our mothers spent interceding for us in prayer. Dr. George W. Truett tells a story from his boyhood. He said every morning his mother went out to the apple orchard and spent a little time out there. And then when she came back, he said it was like the light of heaven would be on her face. And there'd be a sweet song on her lips. George and his brother were curious to know what happened out there in the orchard. So one day they hid themselves in the corner of the rail fence. And after a while, their mother came down to the orchard and she knelt underneath an old apple tree. And there she cried out to God for his help. She said, "Lord, you gave me these boys. And I cannot bring them up in the right way without your help. I will make a shipwreck of their life without your help." Little boys went quietly back to their play that day. But they learned a great secret about their mother. They had learned there is only one source of strength and help, and that one source is God Himself. Listen to me, mothers. Learn to pray for your children now. It is far better to pray for them now than to weep over them later as they've gone down paths that you would have desired they not go down. Learn to intercede now while it is early. I'll never forget, this has just hung with me my entire life, that from the moment my mom found out she was expecting with me, that she was pouring her heart out to God in prayer for me, interceding for me, praying that I would follow God, praying that I would grow up to be a man who loved God and who would follow God. It is unspeakable, the level of impact. There are no words to describe the impact of a mother who loves her children enough to go to God and intercede for them. And this woman who fears the Lord, she has a tremendous task. And I don't mean to cast aspersions on any of the ladies here who are employed in the workforce today. I hear people from time to time talk about, well, woman's place is in the home. Well, that's I'd like you to show me that in Scripture. And invariably, everybody that I've ever asked about that, they suddenly skip over Proverbs 31. It was interesting. I heard Jennifer one time talking to someone who was, it was a young college student who basically informed us that some issues that we were dealing with in life was our fault, that God was judging us because we were living in sin. And we were like, really? Do tell. We didn't realize we had this sin in our lives. Can you tell us what it is that we're doing wrong? And apparently the great sin in our lives was that for Jennifer, it was that she was working outside the home. And for me, it was that I wasn't being the husband that I was supposed to be by allowing her to work outside the home. And I just looked at him, and it was all I could do to keep from just reaching out and just grabbing him. But it was like, dude, have you never read Proverbs 31? Have you never read all these other areas in Scripture that we could go to and we could see these women who are working out in the workforce? They're doing things, but we see that their primary task as a mother comes down to their children. So again, this is nothing about whether you work outside the home or you don't work outside the home. I know we have people here at Calvary. Some of you ladies have jobs. Some of you still have jobs, but it's within the home and you are raising children. That's still a full-time job, I'm here to tell you. But either way that God has led you on that, I don't think it could be stated highly enough. You will never have a more important position. You will never have a greater title than the title of mother. You could be the president of the United States one day, and that job and that position and that title would never trump the title of mother in the lives of the children that God has given you, that God has entrusted into your care to raise and to love and to bring up, to know and love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No position or possession can bring more honor to a woman than this God-ordained task. If you go back to Genesis and you read and you see how Adam and Eve came into being, God created both of them, and you see how Adam named Eve, and he named her the mother of all living. And there's a certain level of respect and admiration in that naming of Eve. Adam's not saying, oh, well, she's just the mother. No, he's holding her up. He's lifting her up as this precious jewel that God has given him. And it's a full-time job. No such thing. Mothers, you can back me up on this. There's no such thing as a 40-hour work week, right? You're on call 24/7. I can remember growing up, my mom and dad had some friends. There was a guy that my dad served in the Air Force with, and my mom I was talking to this lady one day, and they went for kind of one of those rare mom's day out type things. And I think I could have gotten this mixed up, but I think my mom had gone to pick this lady up. She was, when my mom got to her house, it was like this lady was just frazzled. It was like, just one of those, get me out of here. Just get me away. I don't care where you take me. Just take me away from this place. And the story kind of went along the lines of, this lady had been up all night because between her husband flying weird hours and one son who woke up in the middle of the night had to use a bathroom and thought the coat closet was the bathroom, and she had to clean that mess up, and then another one that got up after she got that finished, and just one thing after another, and it just brought her to that point of, I just got to get away from this place. There's no such thing as, well, I'm just going to take the week off, right? I mean, it is a constant task. She's always on duty. And because she has applied herself well, because her love for her family is so great, this is what I really want to kind of hone in on this morning in Proverbs 31. If you look in verse 28, because she has applied herself so well, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. The writer goes on, he says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And I want you to see this morning that a woman who fears the Lord has a hope. Her first hope is that her children will grow to be good Christian men and women who will grow up to bring honor and glory to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And she has a right to that hope, because she believes in the Bible, which clearly says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I would caution you against just blanket statements in Proverbs. These are Proverbs. Just remember what Proverbs are. But as a general rule, these children who are trained up in the way they should go, when you're old, will not depart from it. By the way, when we see situations where it appears that didn't work, it isn't because God failed. But she has a bigger hope than that. She has the hope of heaven. The Bible tells us that those who follow Christ will come to heaven, and a woman who fears the Lord believes that because she believes the Bible. She's followed Christ, and she has led her children to follow him. So the question this morning is simply this: do you have the qualities of a godly woman? Do you have the qualities of a Christian mother? Do you have the qualities of a woman? Or for that matter, do you have the qualities of a man who fear the Lord? I mean, that's where it all comes down to this morning for each and every one of us, right? Right where we live, right where we sit. The ultimate question of our lives is, do we fear the Lord? Because if you fear the Lord, that's going to influence every other decision you make in life. And if you don't fear the Lord, that also will influence every single decision you make in life. Do you have a Savior this morning? Are you walking with Him? Do you have a church? Are you serving God through that church? Do you have a Bible? And are you living according to its teachings? Do you have a pathway to the throne of grace? Do you pray? Are you doing the things that will live on forever? Are the things that you do in your life, the tasks that you perform, are they the things at the end of time when the fire comes will be consumed because they're wood, hay, and stubble? Or are they things that will persevere through the fire because they're gold and silver and precious stone? The ultimate question this morning is, do you have a hope? Do you have a hope that's centered in Christ? Because if you don't have these things, you can have every single one of them today by doing the exact same thing that any God-fearing man or woman, any person that could be described here in Proverbs 31, is fearing the Lord. If you fear God, you can take the right steps to have every single one of these things said about you. Do you have a hope today? Do you have a hope that's centered and that rests in Jesus Christ and the work that He did on the cross to save His people from their sins? If you don't, I want to encourage you today to turn to Jesus. Come to Jesus and lay your life at His feet and know the hope that every single Christian man and woman has, that one day we will come into heaven to be with Him for all of time because of the work that He has accomplished for the glory of God. Stand with me, please, for prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for this opportunity that we have to celebrate our mothers. But Father, more importantly than that, an opportunity to celebrate the goodness and the love and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we are in awe that You would look upon us and see us in our sin and the reality of who we are, that You would fully understand and be fully aware of what we've done and how we've assaulted You and yet still choose to send Your only begotten Son, born of a virgin, to live a life that we could not live, to die the death we could not die. Father, to stand in our place as our substitute. I pray this morning that You would make each and every one of us men and women who truly fear the Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.